So why are financial advisors leaving the industry?
Advisors are facing a very different environment to what they had a few years ago. Back in 2014, we saw new rules come in called Future of Financial Advice, which banned the charging of commissions. It required advisors to get clients to continue to opt in to fees, and there was something called the best interest test that was introduced. Those changes were quite fundamental to the industry, and they, in many ways, changed the environment for the long term. The profitability of advisors and advice businesses were really altered forever. A lot of advisors left the industry from that point. We've seen 7,000 advisors exit the industry in the last 3 years since those changes were implemented. Now we've got more change coming, Kevin. It's primarily called the new educational standards for advisors are compelling advisors who don't have a degree to essentially get a degree. They've got 4 to 5 years to do that. But for a lot of the advisors who are in their 50s, maybe in their 60s, without that educational background, are saying that they don't want to go down that pathway. So we believe the natural attrition that we've been seeing for the last 3 years will continue, but will be increased and enhanced by these additional changes.
Where are these financial advisors going after they leave the industry?
Yeah, it's a very good question. Some are retiring. As I say, a number of them are close to that age. Some are retiring. Some are changing careers and choosing to go into different industries. Some are moving within the industry into non-advice roles, so they're moving into supervisory or management roles, and some are taking a break.
Is there wealth management issues similar to those that you've mentioned here happening in Australia, happening on a more worldwide scale?
Well, certainly a lot of the things that have been playing out in Australia, to some extent, were preempted in the UK. So the UK introduced a lot of these changes that I've referred to, the FOFA, F-O-F-A, changes and the higher educational standards changes a few years ago ahead of Australia. And we saw a very similar event. We saw something like 25 to 30% of advisors in the UK industry exit. We've seen that industry or the volume of those advisors in the industry recover in the UK. So we're going through a very similar pathway.
Are the big four banks starting to move away from wealth management?
Yes, I think it's on the public record that for a number of the banks that they see a sunset on their involvement with wealth. All of the banks, by and large, bought into wealth businesses in a very substantial way 20-odd years ago. They bought life insurance businesses, fund management businesses, stockbroking businesses, and investment platforms, and life insurance. We're seeing a dismantling of that, particularly on the life insurance side. That's already playing out. CBA has sold its life insurance business. ANZ has sold its life insurance business and MLC has done the same. And now we're starting to hear about fund management operations that might be sold, advice businesses that might be sold. And so we are seeing a gradual exit from the wealth industry.
One of the biggest factors influencing the financial advisor industry nowadays is the Royal Commission into banking. So how much of an influence is this Royal Commission having on the industry?
Well, in terms of the impact on the wealth industry, I think it's just, to some extent, turbocharging what has been playing out for the last 3 years. The future of financial advice reforms were strong and fundamentally right, and I think what we've seen from the Royal Commission is the execution of those reforms has not been perfect, has not been as efficient or as effective as maybe government and regulators had hoped. So it's about reinforcing those changes, potentially introducing additional ones, and probably a sharper, stronger focus on the execution of them. The governance and controls around ensuring that what the rules say need to happen are what's playing out on the ground.
Before the end of the Royal Commission, interbanking happens within a couple of days or weeks. Could there be any more influences from this Royal Commission on the industry and on financial advisors? Or could the brunt of the impact have already happened?
Well, we as you say, we've got a little bit more time to go with the Royal Commission. Firstly, there are a number of submissions being made to the Royal Commission following the recent hearings into financial advice. So those submissions will be assessed and evaluated, and I think will inform the Commission about some of the recommendations they make. Then we've got another session, the Royal Commission, that will be relevant, and that's the inquiry into superannuation and life insurance. You can't talk about superannuation and life insurance without non-advice. Those are very material industries that have financial advisors in their organisations, have relationships with financial advisors, and I think particularly on the superannuation side, have a wonderful relationship with the members and a wonderful opportunity to promote advice in a positive way. Advice is a positive experience. Done well can change people's lives and improve their financial well-being. Superannuation funds have a wonderful opportunity to help promote the value of advice and to get more Australian superannuation members getting help. But having said all of that, you know, the Royal Commission is showing it can drill deeply and it can uncover stuff, things that are not being done well, not being done in the right way. And I expect they'll find some things in the review of super and life as well.
With the exodus already starting within the industry, as you mentioned, since about 2014, 2015, and especially now that the public is starting to lose their confidence in financial advisors, how can the industry adapt to survive so that people are still getting that good financial advice that you just mentioned?
I think it's important to say that a very, very large proportion of the advice that is delivered is good advice. A very large proportion of advisors out there are doing the right thing and are providing advice in the best interest of their clients. Unfortunately, that story gets lost with the headlines around the bad apples and the legitimate instances of bad behaviour, both by institutions and by individuals. So the industry has to professionalise. It has to continue to do the things that are required to become a profession that can be trusted by consumers. The good stories about advisors and the value they're delivering have to be told. Our platform, Advisor Ratings, is a rating and review site. It's got a lot of positive news on our platform. Very high proportion of the reviews on our platform are positive and speak about the good things that advisors are doing. But the industry has to focus on the right outcomes, which are client best interests, and then deliver.